Good morning. I'm very happy to be with you along with my family. You have a beautiful building, and I'm very grateful to be able to teach you a little bit, to share a little bit about the work going on in Nigeria, West Africa. Now, if you don't know where Nigeria is, it's in Africa, right about, you know, on the west-hand side. But, you know, you've heard of Nigeria, I'm sure. A lot of times, if you check your email, the princes of Nigeria are trying to get in touch with you to give you $100 million. All you have to do, brethren, is deposit $1,500 in their account, you know, to cover their fees and such, you know. It's just only fair. Nigeria is a country of 200 million souls. 200 million. A country the size of Texas and Oklahoma. It's a pretty good sized country. There's a lot of folks there. But when you go to Nigeria, there are just people everywhere you look. There are people standing and working and doing and going. There are people everywhere. So many churches of Christ here in the United States, are struggling because of COVID, aging populations, changing demographics. There's a lot of churches that are doing well. Some churches are struggling. If you read some of the hype that's going on out there in the churches of Christ or in Christendom as a whole, they say that Christianity in the United States is on the decline. And sometimes we'd be discouraged by that. But listen, brethren, I know many churches of Christ in the United States that are growing and doing well. Amen? And I'm going to tell you about Nigeria. There was a missionary to Nigeria named Wendell Broom. He did full-time mission work there. And then he went to teach at one of our brotherhood universities. But he would do a census every 10 years in Nigeria to kind of see where we're at. And what he found that every 10 years is that the number of members of the churches of Christ and the number of congregations of the churches of Christ doubled every 10 years. And so you think about this town here. How many churches of Christ do we have here in town? Right here in this area. Six here in the county. Now, how many people live here, do you know? Here in the county. 12,000? 1.2 million. There you go, 1.2 million. That's a little bit different than 12,000. So 1.2 million. There are six churches of Christ. Woo! Brethren, we have some work to do, right? Anyway, to 1.2 million, there are six churches of Christ here in the county. Now, if this county were to follow the same demonstrated pattern of Nigeria, that would mean in 10 years from now, there would be 12 churches of Christ. In another 10 years, there would be 24 churches of Christ. You know, we may look at the churches of Christ in America, and some churches are struggling, but listen, the churches of Christ in Nigeria are thriving, and they are booming, and they're doing well. I'm here to tell you about several things today. I'm sure I'm going to take every ounce of time that I have because the work in Nigeria is huge on what's going on. I work with orphanages, preachers. I work with a lot of preacher training schools, Bible colleges. And so there's a lot of things that I'm involved in. But right now, I want to start off with a guy named Nana Afogi. And you guys know that name because this church has been supporting Nana for several years. This is where Nigeria is. God is at work right there where Nigeria is. You can see that. A country of 200 million souls. That says 190, but it's actually closer to 2 million now. 200 million, excuse me. I want you to notice there that population of Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos is a city of 21 million people. Now, you have 1.2 million people here. Google says New York City is 8.1 million people. And so Lagos is a city almost three times the size of New York City. Huge, huge city, sprawling city. There's no way actually you can get across from one side of Lagos to the other in one day. But the Lord's church is doubling in members and congregations every 10 years. The churches of Christ in Nigeria are on fire, and God is doing great things in Nigeria. Hey, I don't know which one it is, but just so you know, just in case you haven't figured it out, this one is Nana, right? I don't know who that guy is, right? But this is at the launch, which is called the launch of the Gospel Chariot. The Gospel Chariot is a mobile gospel meeting. It's a big red truck that says Gospel Chariot on the side. The side of the truck folds down, and then it opens up, and you've got a platform right there. And inside the truck, you have everything that you need. You have speakers, you have chairs, you've got tarps, you've got, you know, the microphones, all that stuff. You even have a baptistry inside the truck. Everything that you need for a gospel meeting. And Nigeria has one of these trucks. And Nana and I were there together at the launch of this thing for Nigeria. And this is me and him there in Nigeria. Now, he just sent these pictures to me because I wanted to be able to share them with you. They do a lot of youth evangelism efforts. It's very big in Nigeria for works that are doing well to make sure they use the youth of the church to do and be involved. And so that's one of the things that Nana is doing. He works with 168 youth from area churches of Christ are coming together, and they're doing evangelism in different areas, which I think is a very, very good thing. This is what Nana says. This we are doing so that the youth can be brought up and take over when we are old, being grounded in the truth. That is so, so important. You know, there is a generational gap. It seems like so often when our youth, when they graduate high school, they turn 18, God bless them, and then what do? They also graduate the church, right? So oftentimes they leave the church, and then what happens to them, you know? We've got to make sure the youth in their churches are connected and grounded in the truth. And Nana is using some of these youth to go and do some of that. This is some of the pictures here of the youth outreach. They had one in August. They had one also in July. There's some prayer points I want you to keep in mind. He is involved in World Bible School follow-up team efforts. He lives in a place called Rivers State. Now, back when the United States would import a lot of their oil, I don't know what we do now, but we stopped importing oil, I think, under the previous president. I'm not sure what we're doing nowadays, but when we were importing oil, 1/5 of all the oil we imported into the United States, 1/5 came from the state that Nana lives in. You go there is just a huge city called Port Harcourt. He lives outside of Port Harcourt. There are huge oil refineries and factories going on. And you just go and you touch anything. I was there in February of last year, and I developed a cough. It took me 3 months to get over. But this city is so dirty. I'm telling you what, you put your hand on anything, it's just black when you come off of that. That city there, but there's so many people living and working in that city, and Nana lives just outside of that city doing some World Bible School follow-up. He asked me to pray for you, to pray for him for his recent issues with malaria and typhoid. That is a recurring problem they have in Nigeria, and he asked for your prayer with that. He's also working with us We do some work with Bear Valley Bible Institute, which is a preacher school out of Denver. They have many extension schools throughout the world. Two of those schools are in Port Harcourt, the same state that he lives in. And we're getting ready. So many students are interested in this program that Nana is helping us to scout out some churches that may be interested for a new third location of our preacher school. And so Nana is doing a good work. He is active. He's involved. He's engaging the youth. He is helping us with our preacher training efforts. So we're very thankful to have Nana on the team, and very thankful to you that you continue to support him and that work, because it is a good and valued work. You guys are doing a good job. Now, while I'm here, I'm going to tell you about several other things that I'm working with. There's a guy named Ruben Egwu. He lives in Ebonyi State, Nigeria. When I started going to Nigeria in 2003, I met Ruben on one of those trips. He is a graduate of what's called the Nigerian Christian Bible College. He lives in Ebonyi State, which is on the eastern side of Nigeria. Nana lives on the southern part of Nigeria. Ruben lives on the eastern side. He runs he does World Bible School follow-up in his area. There's a lot of work there, signing up students, following up for baptism. He runs a primary school to give Christian parents, listen, to give Christian parents an alternative to the Islam school that's in that area. Saudi Arabia, no joke, Saudi Arabia has built a Islamic school in this area. And it is free, free for any child who wants to get an education, right, can go to this Islamic school for free and get all the education that they want. However, you have to wear the girls have to wear the stuff. And then when they finish school, so oftentimes the kids, they come out Muslims, and the parents, they come out Muslims, because of this free education that they're able to get. And so Reuben wants to provide an alternative for these Christian parents to have a place for their child to go to school at without being converted to Islam. And so he's trying to run a primary school. And listen, this right down here is very important also. Starting a fish farm to help mission effort generate some revenue. He has started, it's a kind of like a big vinyl, it's not vinyl, but it's similar to vinyl, a big fish farm tank. And he is raising his own fish in this big fish farm tank. He's going to be able to eventually gain some revenue from that to help the mission effort that he is doing. This is him right there. That's him right there. And some of the church he preaches at, they gave out rice to some of the needy people in the area. This is his school. I don't know who that Chad part is, but that's Doris Chad International Academy. That's some of the kids there that they have at the school. This is his fish farm. That is kind of, I'm telling you about that vinyl. That has about, I think, two tanks right here. He's growing fish. Fish is very popular. They harvest the fish and then they put it in these dryers and they dry the fish, but that's what they like to do. And then they're able to raise some funds off of that. You know, it's so important to raise support here in the States. That's a good thing. But it's also a very good thing if those preachers can support themselves in their field as they're continuing to work. Reuben, I was telling you about, he is a graduate of what's called the Nigerian Christian Bible College. This school was started in 1954. And this is, historically speaking, for the Churches of Christ, one of the pioneer Bible colleges in the mission field. It has graduated literally thousands of faithful preachers. Many men have graduated this school and went on to other works throughout Africa. We have currently right now 120 plus Bible students. Now I want you to think about that. 120 Bible and ministry students at that school. That is a lot of guys who want to learn about the Bible and be able to be a more competent preacher. That's a very good school doing a good thing. This is some of the students there in class with this guy right here named Joe Obina, who is the director of the school. Some of the guys there in class. Some of the guys here like Levi, who wants to preach the good news and to win souls for Christ. That school is in the southeast. This school is in the west, called the West Nigeria Christian College. This school was started in 1999 and currently has about 80 Bible and vocational students. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. This is some of the classes that we have here. This is chapel that we have every day. You see these hats, these straw hats they have? Actually, that is from the neighboring secondary school, which is also Church of Christ run. They have a combined chapel every day on the campus. A guy like Gideon is a ministry student who wants to bring glory to God. They have chapel. Now, so oftentimes, people come to this school not only for the good Bible training, but they're going to go on. They want to learn more about, they're going to eventually become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a teacher. They want to go ahead and go on with their secular education. But so oftentimes, especially the school in the West, they want to come to school for 2 years to get a good, solid Bible foundation before they go off for their other education. And so many of those are doing that and being well equipped to help churches where they are. Now, the school in the West has a vibrant vocational programs. This is plantain. They're growing plantain to graze the plantain to sell it. Also, we have a vibrant chicken farm. I'm telling you what, there are so many chickens we have there. But not only are we raising and selling the eggs that provides some revenue for the school, the students are also learning how to do this on a good scale to be able, when they finish school, they can go back home and they can start their own chicken project. Or right here is a fish farm. They can start their own fish farm. This is the folks planting the plantain right there. We also have, you have agri. Here's the chickens. We have the fish. We have chickens. There we go. We also have what's called desktop learning possibilities with desktop publishing, where they can learn to type, they can learn to use the computer. We give them those vocational skills. Actually, that is a very profitable skill. Let me go back. Because that preacher, if he has these skills, can rent a small space in the market, put a computer in there, and people will come and bring him documents to type, and he can type them up, print them out, and so on and so forth. And that's actually a way to earn some living. Not only do we teach them how to use a computer, we teach them how to take a computer apart and put it back together. We also teach them how to do Android phone repair. I mean, you might not think that Nigeria, we got chickens and fish and plantains, but we also teach them about technology as well. All of this is to benefit the future preacher and to help the church. We have a lot of student-led evangelism programs going on where the students are involved in different areas. I want to talk about that real quick because the West Nigeria Christian College is located just outside the city of Lagos. Lagos is a city of 21 million people. Now, Lagos is just to the south of that school. Just to the east of that school is another small town you've probably never heard of called Ibadan, a city of 16 million people. And so if that school in the west is located within the vicinity of 50 million souls. I mean, it's just a huge number, and that school is located right inside all of that. We have part-time classes. Now, this is very beneficial because, you know, if you want to go to preacher school, that's fine. You want to learn about the Bible, that's great. But so oftentimes, you know, if you are employed or if you are, you know, self-employed, maybe you're selling tomatoes, you have a business, you have a service, and, you know, you just can't leave that job for 2 years. You can't just close your business up for 2 years while you're in preacher school. How is your family going to survive? And is that job going to be available to you when you get done with preacher school? Nigeria is a country where the inflation rate is at 18%, right? That means whatever, you know, a bag of corn costs today, it will cost even more tomorrow. And so inflation is huge. But now listen, the unemployment rate in Nigeria is sitting at, 39%. 39%. Now, at the height of the pandemic last year, all those lockdowns and shutdowns and all that good stuff, we had what? An unemployment rate of what? 20%? You know, all so many people were out. 20%, something like that. This Nigeria lives in a country where unemployment is at 39%. So if you have a job, you can't just leave that job and expect that job to be there when you get back from preacher school for 2 years. Or if you have a business, you can't just close up shop and leave for 2 years and then come back and expect to have that same business. You can't do that. And so what we have done, we have developed part-time classes. That means every Saturday. Now listen, Dan, that means every Saturday. Doesn't matter what's going on. Every Saturday, you know where you're going to be for 4 years is in class at these part-time programs. We offer classes each Saturday at several locations, and this is very beneficial to those who have jobs, those who are self-employed, those who are already supporting their families. They are able to do their jobs Monday through Friday, and then on Saturdays, they can go get Bible training that they want. And so these programs are very successful, very popular. We have opened up a center in Lagos. We've opened up one in Enugu. We have one in Benin City. We have one in the country of Benin. And the capital city starts with a C, and I can't say the rest of it. Cotonou, and I'm sure I said that wrong. But we have all these part-time programs going on for those people who are employed, self-employed, and who still want to study the Bible. Very, very successful program. Now, this is the school in the West. Now, let's go back over to the Southeast. That college down in the Southeast, we have, that school has been around since 1954, and then it has been doing well all through the years. There was a time in Nigeria, if you remember, back in 2008, 2009, they had a lot of problems there, people being kidnapped and so on and so forth. Well, during that time, we decided to close NCBC, which is the Nigerian Christian Bible College. And we restarted that about 5 years later after things kind of calmed down. But during those 5 years, first of all, the buildings were getting kind of old, right? But then when they were shut down for 5 years, they had a lot of serious disrepair happen. This is one of the dormitories that we use. It was kind of overgrown. The roof was kind of bad and totally bad on this side over here. It was an unusable building. Now, because of good folks, we've been able to repair that dormitory. You can see new windows, new roof. Everything's been cleaned and painted. And we're very grateful to that for those folks who have helped us with that. We've also been working on the big dorm, which is called the Payden Dormitory. It is a big facility. We've totally taken the roof off. We've added some stuff on the side here. Let me show you that. That's the new roof going on right here. There are some new pillars on the side to support the big roof. Look at that. New roof, new windows, new paint job. It's all to the glory of God because we've been able to do this. We got this done just in time for the lectureship we had at the school, which we had 65 baptisms during our lectureship, which happened just a few weeks ago. And so God is doing some great things in Nigeria. Oh, how'd that get in there, right? This is at a place in Cross River State with some yam. What's funny because I was in Cross River State one time. There's a lot of good stories when it comes to Cross River State. One time I was with this preacher. You remember Reuben? I was telling you about Reuben. Reuben and I and some other preachers, we were getting ready to go visit this church across the river. And so we get down to the river, to the Cross River, and we get ready to get into this dugout canoe, this dugout wooden canoe, right? And listen, brethren, some of those Nigerian preachers, one named Dixon, he's not the skinniest preacher in the box. And anyway, so all of us, we get together and we get into this wooden dugout canoe, and we sit in that wooden canoe, and that water is right up to the side of that canoe. And I got two preachers sitting there with their hands scooping water out. But we luckily got to the other side to visit this church. Another time I was with Reuben. We wanted to take the river up an hour boat ride to this little congregation we helped to plant. You know, by car, it's about 4 hours. By boat, it's about 1 hour. We go up and, you know, it's just doing just fine. So we decide we go back to that same river, but this time, instead of a wooden dugout canoe, we're going big time, right? We hire the police boat with two policemen, okay? So we're going to be escorted, you know, in style, right? And so we get into this police boat, and we're going up the river to visit this church. About 30 minutes up the river, the police boat does this, and then just dies. They ran out of gas. Oh, so what are we going to do, you know? So we're sitting there. The policemen obviously don't know what to do. And then here comes another boat up the river, right? The policemen flag that boat down and confiscate their fuel so we can go on to church. And God bless them, brethren. I don't know what happened to that boat after that. But oh, me. But anyway, we took their fuel and we were able to make it to church on time. Cross River State, I'm telling you what. You know, one time I was driving through Cross River State. We were driving through Aquibom State, which is a southern state, heading into Cross River State. And there's a lot of problems that happened in southern Nigeria. And we were driving through a village, and you could see the smoke coming up in the air. And we finally got to that village, and every one of the houses were just black, just burnt out. And none of the people were there. We don't know what happened to the people. We don't know what happened. But we certainly kept on going, you know. One time I was in the car, and unfortunately I made the bad decision of sitting in the front seat. And we sitting in the front seat. I was, you know, just enjoying the scenery, driving to one of the church gigs we had going on or visiting a different work. And we drove through a police checkpoint, which we were flagged, you know, go ahead, you know. But once the folks at the police checkpoint saw the color of my skin, they drove us down, guns in hand, to check my passport. And they wanted to arrest me because, obviously, the date stamped on my passport when I came in the country was the date of the expiration of my visa. No, it was not. That's the date I came into your country. Anyway, they wanted to arrest me, and we went back and forth, until eventually, right, they had to wake up the supervisor sleeping in the cot. And then the supervisor woke up, he came out, and then I talked to him, and it was no problems after that. Another time, I made the mistake of flying from the west to the east, and I went through security, no problem. It was not a problem, but then there was a problem with one of my check bags. It was a domestic flight, no problem. You go check it out, okay. They just wanted to double check that this was my stuff. Okay, that's fine. They probably wanted some lunch money. I didn't give them any lunch money at the time. Anyway, so I went through, you know, I went through security, which is just fine. But when I had to go back to check my bags, I left security again. So when I came back through, they saw something in my bag. Right? It was a little bit of money that I had in my bag. And admittedly, right, I had exchanged a little bit, you know, of money, and I had some money in my bag, in my carry-on. Well, they thought, of course, they were accusing me at first of taking, this is during a presidential election year, right, that I was taking money to the opposition party in the East. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And so then when we argued a little bit, then that's when the so-called secret police got involved, kind of like the Nigeria CIA, you know. And they wanted to know what I was doing, where I was going, and so on and so forth. And eventually, they all had lunch. I bought them all lunch just fine, and I was able to get on my plane, no problem. But there are many stories like that in Nigeria. The work in Nigeria is doing well. The work is booming. The church is thriving in Nigeria. And so if you ever really want to go, I invite you to go. I want to tell you, just to take a few more minutes here, to tell you about, I've got 10 more minutes, right? Since I was not able to go to Nigeria this year, I was in Nigeria last year. I was not able to go this year because of, not really because of COVID, but mostly because of unrest going on. And so what we decided to do, me and my wife, we went to Tanzania and Malawi. Tanzania is where we lived for 5 years. We also visited Malawi, wanted to visit some works there. We went to Ekwendeni, which is in northern part of Malawi, and I was able to teach evangelism seminars there. If you're interested in an evangelism seminar that's simple, reproducible for every Christian, you know, we can do that. And that's what I was teaching to those guys there in Ekwendeni at a Bear Valley Bible Institute Extension School there. That's the classroom there. You can see we have good, well-equipped facilities. Actually, they are in a process. They've already got land. They are in the process of starting to construction on a new school facility in Ekwendeni. This guy with me, his name is Davison. Davison, he wanted to take me around on a Saturday to visit all these churches that he works with. And every congregation that we went to, we got a chicken. And that's honey right there, and this is some cabbage, right? And let me tell you something, brethren. That chicken entered the Lord's ministry later on that afternoon. This is me with some of the church folks there in Malawi. Now, this is not that congregation. This is representatives from many congregations that have come together to be able to meet with me and talk with me. This is some of the another church that we visited. Ladies, I want you to notice right there the mats. You know, I think, Dan, you could probably move some of these pews out and put some mats right over here. I think that would, no, I don't know. I guess not. Okay. But anyway, they had a lot of different folks there. And this congregation here, this is 16 churches of Christ that have come together. 16 representatives, excuse me, start over. Representatives, there we go, of 16 churches of Christ in this area came together on this Saturday to sing, to worship, and to visit with me. And so out of these 16 churches of Christ, they all chose one song leader. And this guy, I'm telling you what, he was dynamic. And he was leading the singing, and he would get them going, and they were all singing, and it was just great. And he would point his finger, and he'd do this. I have no idea what they were talking about or singing about, but boy, I was surely edified by that singing. I was really encouraged by the singing. He did a really good job. After we left that congregation, we left out, and we stopped at this school. This is a secondary school in the area. And all these kids are there. They're all members of the Church of Christ. And they were already scheduled to have a youth meeting at the church building where we were just at. But they couldn't have the youth meeting there because I was there. And so they met at the school. And so we stopped and I said a few words to them. I spoke to them. This is my wife, Renee. She's sitting right here with Moster Kanyenje. He is a World Bible School guy in northern Malawi. They asked my wife to come and teach some evangelism classes to the ladies. This is her doing some teaching with Moster's wife there on the left-hand side with some of the ladies there. Now, this is funny. This is on Sunday morning at the Msimzini Church of Christ. There's probably 200, 250 people there at this church. And that church, listen, does not seat 250 people, even with the mats, okay? And so we were just busting at the seams. Now listen, Dan, we had already had a Bible class. We had already had my sermon. The only thing we had left to do was the Lord's Supper, which is the main point of coming today, coming that day. But then after all that, before the Lord's Supper, this guy starts talking behind me to some of the guys saying, you know what? We need to get out of here because of the COVID-19. Malawi is just very concerned about the COVID-19. I don't know how many cases they had, maybe 10 cases. But everywhere you go in Malawi, their masks are on everywhere. If you're driving down the road, you got to have a mask on. The police will stop you and ask where your mask is. It was just masks everywhere. So we're here in church, and there's a guy from the Ministry of Health who says, you know, we don't need to be in this building. We need to go outside because of COVID-19. So that's what we did. We went outside. This is some of the ladies there. It was cold because this southern hemisphere, so it's wintertime for them. It was cold and drizzly rain, but there were so many people there. This guy here is named Efron Mbano. He's the director of the school at Equindeni. I'm telling you, this guy is, he will tell it to you straight, but he has such a good laugh and a good bubbly personality, and he loves, like I do, to drink coffee. Oh, and so he'll get some Malawi coffee in the French press, and boy, that's good stuff. Anyway, Mbano, there's some of the folks there where we had. There was 200 and some odd people there. And so this is the guy named Davison giving the Lord's Supper talk. I want to tell you about that real quickly. And I apologize that the L and the S is not capitalized. I would always capitalize that anyway. They can't get grape juice in Malawi very easily. Grape juice is not very easy to come by. And so what they often do is they get grapes. They take grapes and they boil the grapes in water, okay? And then they take that water that they boil the grapes in, the raisins, they boil these raisins in water and they take that water, and that's what some churches use for the fruit of the vine because that's all that they can do. And so that's what they were doing at this congregation. They did the bread, which was fine, and then we came to the cup. And we took the cup, which was fine, but then it took forever to do the cup because there were so many people there, they had to boil some more raisins to have enough grape juice to be able to service the entire church that was gathered there that day. Let me tell you this real quickly. Hey, we got time. This is one of the preachers in Malawi that I work with. You know, we lived in southern Tanzania, which is real close to Malawi. And this guy here, this kid, I call him a kid, his name is William Timbo. I call him a kid because to me he looks like 25 years old. Actually, I found out he's 36, right? He's not really much of a kid anymore. And then he's not married. I say, oh, William, we got to get you married off. And so we're always joking about that, got to find you a woman, so on and so forth. Anyway, this is where William lives. This is his mom right there. That's William's mom. And this is his family, right? And so we were joking about William having to find a wife. We need to find him a wife. And so the family jokingly said, yes, we agree. We're tired of feeding him. He's a good guy. After Malawi, we went up to Tanzania where we lived for 5 years. This is me speaking at a youth seminar. This guy here, you can't see him well. You'll see him better in just a minute. His name is Boaz Kasiba. And when I tell stories about Tanzania, every good story starts with Boaz Kasiba right there. I spoke at the Chamala School of Preaching Chapel. We did another evangelism seminar there. And this is my wife doing cabbage. This is Mama Betty doing some of the cooking. This over here, his name's Timothy Mkwama, and also Remy Mfalme, who's preparing the beef for the next day, right? They're getting the beef ready. Remy here, he is one of the teachers at the School of Preaching, but one of the things he's doing on his own, okay, is he is preparing a house an hour and a half away from where he teaches at, where the Church of Christ is not known. And he is getting ready to plant a church there in Njombe. And I'm just very excited about his work and the plans that he's laying. He really is a good jewel of the brotherhood right there. I want to tell you about this girl right here. This girl right up here in the top left, her name is Situ Maye. Situ Maye. While we were living in Tanzania, Situ Maye, she was a child slave living in a city called Mbeya. And she was able to escape that when she was, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. She was able to get out of the house and escape. And she walked over an hour's drive. She walked all that way on foot. And finally she got to this town, this village, where she was hungry, she was tired, she was exhausted. And she saw these people standing outside this house. And she said, well, let me just go see if they got a little bit of food. Come to find out, that was a Church of Christ. And they were having a seminar there that day. And they were able to take her to the place where we lived. And we were able to help her get into school. And so now every time we go back, we try to see Situ Maye and see how she is doing. We were able to do that. We did some seminars there at Chamala on evangelism. And this guy here, his name is Saruni. He is a Maasai guy. And he was converted to the Lord's church. And we were able to send him to school. And now he is a doctor. And let me tell you something. I included his picture because he is sharp as a tack when it comes to this. I'm just very excited about him and the Lord's church in Tanzania. This is Joseph Haonga and his family. And we were able to visit with him. And then, I'm almost done, Josh. Then we visited to the school, the city of Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam is the fifth fastest growing city in the world. Right now there is 7 million people there. And there are soon to be, in the next 5 years, they estimate 10 to 13 million people in the city of Dar es Salaam. Now you said 1.2 million people, right? And there are 6 churches of Christ. In Dar es Salaam, there is right now 7 million people. There are 800 members of the church. Only 15 congregations. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there. So we visited some of the part-time schools we have there. One at Temeke and one at a city called Imbagala. Some good congregations. Both of those churches have elders and are doing well. I did an evangelism seminar also there. This is my wife with some of the ladies. And, oh, let me tell you this real quick, Josh, and I'll close with this, all right? So we're sitting on Sunday morning. We're sitting there, and we're having church. We've already had church, right? Now, this guy right here, his name is Innocent Moshe. He's an elder in the church. And listen, he is the best tailor in the continent of Africa that I've ever found. He is the best. I've had a lot of stuff done, but he is the best guy. He's an elder in the Lord's church there. And he got up, you know, after church is finished, and you know, you've got the unofficial sixth act of worship, right? You've got the singing and praying. You know the sixth one, right, is announcements. You got to have announcements, right? And so you have 30 minutes of announcements, you know, in any African congregation. And finally, he gets up and he's speaking in Swahili, which it wasn't being translated for us then. But you'll figure it out. I figured it out pretty quickly. And then while he was talking, about four or five guys stand up in the middle of the church and they grab this guy right here. And they pull him up in the air and they bring him right here to the front of the church. What in the world is going on, right? I had no idea what was going on. And then they continue speaking in Swahili a little bit. And then before you know it, about four or five ladies, they didn't pick her up, right? But they carried her, pulled her up to the front here. And then they were put both of them up at the front here. And then the congregation came and gave them these fabrics. They put the fabrics on them because the congregation was announcing their engagement to the entire congregation. It was a good experience to be able to have. So Josh, I have run 5 minutes over. Does anybody have any questions or comments real quickly before I sit down? Going once, going twice. Brethren, thank you very much for your time, and may God bless you and the church here. And I'll be around if you have any questions or comments, or if you ever want to go to Africa, you just let me know. Thank you very much. Thank you, Josh.